This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
In terms of like an individual one-on-one matchup, yeah, I'm terrified of what JSN is going to do to this Niner defense, because you have the combination of a pass rush that is... the friendliest way I can put it is terribly inconsistent.
You can say they suck. It's fine.
Generally, they just don't impact the quarterback. Not only do they not get sacks, they hardly get quarterback hits, and they rarely get pressures or hurries. So they're not doing much of anything out there. And then you pair with that I don't think they're going to allow D'Amato Lenore to follow JSN around everywhere that he goes. As we were talking about earlier, that puts a lot of pressure on your other guys, because if JSN lines up in the slot where Lenore hasn't been this year, and Lenore lines up on him in the slot, what does that leave Upton Stout, who's been your guy in the slot and doesn't have any experience playing outside? So you're going to see a lot of JSN on cornerbacks not named D'Amato Lenore, and defensive backs in general not named D'Amato Lenore, and you give Sam Darnold time and JSN time to break free from whoever that is, whether it's man coverage or zone coverage. Niners run lots of zone, and he's one of the best deep ball targets in the NFL. He's probably the best route runner in the NFL. He has amazing hands, has great feet to toe tap along the sideline. Yeah, JSN is one of my bigger fears going into this game, because the Niners could execute a 12-play drive that takes 6 minutes off the clock. It was perfectly executed, but it was forced to be a long drive because that's how good Seattle's defense is, and Seattle could get those 7 points right back on a 2-play, 75-yard drive because JSN could go for 75 yards on one fell swoop. Like that is my fear, that Seattle is able to score so much easier than the 49ers because they have a singular, incredible skill position player in JSN who's a home run hitter every time he's on the field.
Well, I think about last week's game against Chicago, right? There are 4 seconds left on the clock, but it's not even fourth down for the Bears inside San Francisco's half-yard line. You think about that, and let's say this game is similar, or you know, the defense plays as poor and they're going back and forth throughout the game, and you give Seattle those 4 seconds, they're probably going to score. And obviously the Niners have beaten Seattle early in the season. Nick Bosa blocking the right tackle into Sam Darnold, forcing a fumble to win that game, which is just still incredible knowing how long ago it was, but also how improbable it seemed when it happened. But you know, this to me is a game where, okay, you're playing Chicago, their defense really isn't that great. Again, they can get takeaways, but they can be had in the secondary. While the Seahawks don't have a world-beating secondary, they have a bunch of dudes that can get after the quarterback, and they can usually stop the run. Now, San Francisco has gone to a more power run scheme with Christian McCaffrey, and it's worked, and I do think that you can beat this Seahawks interior defensive line at the middle, so maybe CMC goes off again, but you know, let's be honest. This game will be down to, can San Francisco's defense get one stop Like, that's been the big question. Can you get one stop? And they've done that a lot this year, but it's come at the, okay, well, what if you had 5 seconds instead of 4 seconds? What if you had 20 seconds instead of 4 seconds? And, you know, there is the negative side to me that's like, you can't give this team, this Seahawks team, that one drive, because they'll take it and they'll run with it. And if they do, not to say the Niners seasons is doomed, but your job gets a heck of a lot harder going forward, knowing you're probably going to be the fifth or the sixth seed in the wild card.
Absolutely. So what scares you the most about this Seahawks team? Is it you in agreement with me, Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Are you with Sterling? Is it their defensive line or defensive front seven against this Niner offensive line? What gives you the most worry that the Niners are going to run into some trouble against the Seahawks tomorrow? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to the phone lines. Wando on 280 wants to weigh in on the Niners, on the Seahawks, and on Brock Purdy specifically. What's up, Wando? You're on Willard and Dibbs, but Sterling and Grandy with you. Happy New Year. What's up?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Since I last called in, which was right after the Niner game the other night, and I was kind of a wet blanket, I guess, to the question of, like, you know, the fear of Brock Purdy. But I hear the conversation coming up now again, and a couple quick points. Just want to say, Grandy, that's a great point. And it's cool to hear you say the 3-4 years you guys have been talking about the offensive line. Just want to give you your flowers for, you know, your time at the station. And Sterling, also really cool to hear you on Afternoon Drive. And great to hear passionate Niners takes. So just want to throw that out there. Didn't hear the question to our friend NFL Films, that was wondering if it was a good question or not, but that's great insight, like, about keeping Purdy in the pocket. And you know, we do think of him as you know, one of his strengths is the scrambling ability, but it's totally a great point and recentered me on him, is that, yeah, he can really kill you from the pocket. I do just want to reemphasize the point that I called in about last game, about, like, the arm strength. And it's not so much the arm strength, but it's that, just to refine the point, is, like, it seems like he wants to drive the ball into tighter windows than he has in years past, just lately. And I don't know. That's something that stood out to me. I think I'd like to see him still throwing from the pocket. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of that? It's not really an arm strength thing. It's more like, why are you trying to put that in there? And I feel like we've obviously know with the interception game, whoever that was against, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Wando, appreciate the call, and thanks for the kind words. Yeah, I think you're referencing that was a great question from Willard and Dibbs to Greg Cosell. I think you're referencing the Carolina game where he threw those three interceptions on consecutive possessions in the first half. I think, Sterling, this gets back to something, and we got to take a break in a minute, but this gets back to something that we talked about a lot early in the season and a lot last year, was Brock playing hero ball and trying to force things. I think in his recent hot play, the stretch that he's been on for the last month, I haven't noticed a lot of, like, hero ball throws. There's been a lot of aggressiveness and pushing the ball down the field. This is where I think Shanahan and Brock are working in you know, combination with each other, because not only is Brock pushing the ball down the field, but a lot of those guys are pretty open. And it's not a throw in which there's a high level of probability that it could be picked off. Now, a lot of it is also Brock reading it well, and as you talked about, anticipating and throwing it before the receiver is even open. But once the ball gets to the receiver, there's, like, no one within 3 yards of him oftentimes. And that's Shanahan's greatness and Brock's ability to see it quickly and early coming into play. There is no doubt, though, on those hero ball throws, Sterling, where there is a tight window, having a stronger arm helps. And Brock does not have the strongest arm in the world. He's not close to that. So when you do have to force the ball into a small window that's getting smaller by the second, getting it there quickly helps. So I think it's why, even more so, Brock gets into trouble when he plays that hero ball, because he maybe doesn't have the arm strength that a Caleb Williams might have, to where he could maybe sneak a ball into a smaller window than Brock could. Brock's ability is to see the bigger windows when they're there and take advantage of that bigger window.
Well, I think on top of that, you know, Purdy has to play hero ball because they need him to be a hero. So get used to tighter window throws, because this team can't afford for him to not attempt those throws in big moments. I would assume the caller is more so referring to some of the passes to Juwan Jennings, but that's a receiver that Purdy believes can go up and get the football against any defender. So,
and doesn't get away from a defender all that often. Like, not a lot of space created, right, by Juwan. He's not that kind of receiver.
Well, on top of that, most of these guys can't separate. So it's like,
Ricky
no
can.
One can separate.
Ricky can.
Right, so one guy, and he hasn't played much this year. So yeah. It's like you had DeMarcus Robinson and Jennings and Kittle, and I love Kittle, and sometimes he's open, but sometimes you got to give your guys an opportunity. And knowing there's so much pressure on Purdy in the offense, the difference of winning and losing may come down to a tight window throw and whether your quarterback has the anticipation and the willingness to take those shots, and Purdy has been over the last six games, and it's paid dividends for San Francisco.
Yeah, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More time for your calls if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. What are you most scared about this Seahawks team? Is it JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Is it their defense, their defensive front versus the Niners' offensive line? Let us know, 888-957-9570. Plus, you're going to want to hear what Sam Darnold had to say about Brock Purdy. I've been teasing it for a bit. We will get to it next. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. It's Willard and Dibbs, but Sterling and Grandy in. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, Kelly Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibbs, but no Willard and Dibbs. It's Grandy and Sterling with you here until 6 o'clock. Then we get ready for Warriors basketball. They're hosting OKC, but no Steph, no Jimmy, no Draymond, no D'Anthony Melton, and others. We'll talk about that more later here, of course, on 95.7 The Game. That clip that you just heard over the air, played by the great Steven Rizzotto behind the glass. Also shout out to Cam, working double duty this show, and then the Warriors coming up later tonight as well. That was Mark Willard with Steve Young, and Steve Young fits into this conversation, Sterling, because you said something on the crossover that I think, you know, it got all of our attention, and I think it got the attention of Niner fans out there listening too. You said that Brock Purdy, what, is the best quarterback? Playing the best, the most exciting, doing the most dominant and not a quarterback has been since that guy, Steve Young, won a Super Bowl for the Niners. Is that what you said, Sterling?
Mm.
This is the best quarterback play we have seen by a San Francisco 49ers quarterback since Steve Young in 1994, 1995, when they won the Super Bowl against the Chargers and just stomped him. Brock Purdy, the way he's playing the last six games, this is the best quarterback play we've seen in 30 years.
Okay. I mean, the other options are what? Jeff Garcia, it's, you know, that one-year stretch of Colin Kaepernick. Maybe two-year stretch of Colin Kaepernick, really one and a half. But he's definitely up there. There's an easy argument to be made for it. You're absolutely right, no doubt.
I think when it comes to passing the football, I think it's not even a conversation. I love Colin Kaepernick. His legs were the big reason why he was so explosive. He changed the way, along with Cam Newton, how he viewed the modern quarterback and the usage of their legs. But I love Cap. He wasn't the pure pocket passer
Absolutely,
you need to
yeah.
have.
And, yeah.
and I think Brock is the best combination of the ability to run, extend plays, be a playmaker with his legs, but also the precision, the throw.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Was the timing, the accuracy. This, to me, is the best pure quarterbacking, if you want to use that version of the word, we've seen in the last 30 years or so. And really, the Niners have had success over the last 30 years. Jimmy Garoppolo, Cap Smith, and even Garcia involved in there too. But this to me, is head and shoulders the best one we've seen in 30 years.
It's interesting because I think it kind of goes hand in hand with what we just heard from Greg Cosell talking about Brock Purdy. And you're talking about, like, just specifically the passing game, and you can include everything else because it's not like Brock just is a pocket passer, but it's what Cosell said Brock is best at. And he's certainly better as a pocket passer than a Colin Kaepernick. I would think much better than Jimmy Garoppolo as well. And Jeff Garcia was by no means a bad quarterback, and he was really gritty and tough and took hits and all of that. But Brock, I think, is better in that regard as well. It's something I saw this pop up on my Twitter yesterday, and maybe you saw it too, Sterling, because Bonte said that you live on Twitter during the crossover, which maybe that's true. I don't know.
Maybe a little too much.
Maybe a little bit too much. But I don't know if you watched the Ole Miss-Georgia game last night down in New Orleans. In the Sugar Bowl, and Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss kind of stole the show, and he's a transfer from Ferris State. He was a D2 national champ last year and was recruited by Lane Kiffin to transfer to Ole Miss and become the team's backup, but very quickly became the team's starter, and now is a Sugar Bowl champion and was awesome last night in that win. And I saw someone tweet this, and it's not like an NFL guy or a college guy by any stretch of the imagination. It was an NBA guy that I follow and I respect. I don't want to name him, but that I respect for his basketball takes. And he just tweeted, like, I'm confused. Trinidad Chambliss looks like the best quarterback I've ever seen play college football. Why is he not being talked about as a potential, like, number one pick? Like Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman winner. Like Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback. And I didn't just bring this up to get that out, but that was what the tweet was. And my mind initially went to, yeah, Trinidad Chambliss had an amazing game and is having an awesome season and is an incredible story. And I'm not downplaying what he could do at the next level. He's a redshirt senior, but there's a chance that he could get another year of eligibility because the NCAA just kind of makes up rules as they go. But whenever he declares and goes to the draft, I'm sure he's going to get drafted because you can't do this at the SEC level and in the national level and not get drafted, in my opinion. But my mind first went to the exact same thing Cosell just talked about and what you're talking about. If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about when I say those Trinidad Chambliss amazing plays in the fourth quarter. There was a big third down. They were deep in their own territory, and he was pressured off the right side. Immediately off the defense's right side, Chambliss's left side, immediately he ran far to the right, but then pressure came that side. So what did he do? He ran like 20 yards backwards, reversed field, got back near the line of scrimmage because he just outran those defensive linemen and then completed a pass for a first down. The drive stayed alive. That resulted in a go-ahead touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. And there were two other plays that he made on the run. So to answer that person's question, who I saw tweet it, why isn't he being considered as like the top quarterback in this draft class? And maybe that will change because of what he did last night. But my mind first goes to, because if you're just relying on that crazy athleticism, it's not going to work in the NFL, Sterling. And that's why I think Brock Purdy and his basis as a great pocket passer is why he's had so much success. The ability to extend plays and to make magic happen with your feet obviously is a plus, But just because you're athletic and can run away from guys in the college level does not mean it's going to work at the NFL level. We see it all the time. So I just want to make sure that, and you're on top of it with what you're talking about in terms of why Brock is the best quarterback the Niners have had since Steve Young, because of what he does in the pocket. That will always and forever be the most important thing a quarterback can do. Lamar is not a bad pocket passer by any stretch and is so much better than anybody gave him credit for. His athleticism, when healthy, is on a different level than anybody that we've ever seen, maybe other than Michael Vick at this level. But he wouldn't be able to make it if that's all he was. And I'm not saying that's what Trinidad Chambliss is. This is not even about him. It was an amazing game, and he was absolutely awesome. But if you can't survive as a pocket passer, you will not survive in the NFL as a quarterback.
Well, I think we've even seen that in San Francisco, right? They draft Trey Lance a couple years ago, take a big risk, and what's the one thing Trey couldn't do, at least immediately, in this team's window? It was be a pure pocket passer.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know there's conspiracy theories there as they did to give him a chance or not, but it's clear as day he wasn't good enough at the point in time as a pocket passer, and it's why you saw Brock Purdy ascend up the depth chart, and you had Shanahan saying, we have a problem on our hand. Our third-string guy that we drafted this year, the last pick of the draft, the best one we got. And there's a reason why now Brock is getting paid, you know, $200-plus million and is paid with the likes of Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, the last one being the worst of that bunch, obviously. It just shows you that while the NFL changes and there are things that can make you more dynamic, like utilizing your legs, and you've seen the NFL go from a pure pocket passer, statuesque quarterback like a Mac Jones, to your more of your Caleb Williams, your Mahomes, your Allens, your Burrows, your Jackson guys, where you want to find the best marriage of the two, right? You want to find the balance of mobility and to be able to throw in the pocket on time, under pressure and whatnot. And Purdy has been able to do that. Now, no one's saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's not. No one's saying he's the best quarterback even in his own division, because he may not be with Matthew Stafford having a great year. But when that other quarterback is the best in football, probably going to win the MVP, and you say Purdy's the second best guy and say right now, in my opinion, he's the best quarterback San Francisco's had in the last 30 years, I think it's really hard to argue against that point simply because Purdy has found the balance, right? Now, it's like, I don't want to utilize the Marvel analogy, but it's like Thanos, right? You want to find balance in the universe.
God.
And granted, he was using some ulterior things to get to the end game for himself and the end point, but in a much more civil way to look at things, Purdy has found that balance of being a pure pocket passer with anticipation, playing on time, but also being able to utilize his legs, keep plays alive, and also make plays and extend broken plays for this offense.
Okay, and that brings me to what Sam Darnold has said about Brock Purdy. And I apologize. I think I first teased this like 2 hours ago, and I'm just getting around to it now. It's easy.
We are playing the long game, Grandy.
It's easy to get distracted when you've got a game like tomorrow to talk about. Sam Darnold, Seahawks quarterback, Brock Purdy, Niners quarterback. They were teammates 2 years ago when the Niners signed Sam Darnold kind of as a reclamation project, and he served as the backup to Brock Purdy, basically only played in that one game the final week of the season when the Niners lost. They did not need to win because they already had wrapped up the number one seed in the NFC, and Darnold wasn't like amazing in that game, but it wasn't terrible either. Then got signed by the Vikings, and despite the fact that they drafted J.J. McCarthy, was their starter the whole year because McCarthy got injured before the season began, and Darnold kind of like lucked into a spot where he was going to start after 1 year with the Niners and was amazing. Led the Vikings to an amazing season. They made the playoffs, and then unfortunately for him, had his worst performance of the season in the playoffs, and they didn't win a postseason game. And then he gets signed to a relatively big deal from the Seahawks and has a good season, not a great, amazing season, but a pretty darn good season, specifically like a good first 10 weeks. And before that season, though, after he was signed by the Seahawks, this is what he had to say during his introductory press conference about his opponent tomorrow, Brock Purdy. Here is Sam Darnold back in March talking about Brock Purdy.
I really, you know, thank Brock a ton, Brock Purdy, for, you know, just his style of playing and how he kind of described his style as like, we got a ton of great playmakers on offense. Like, my job is just to play point guard and get the ball in their hands and let them go do great things with the rock. And when I started to change my thought process as a quarterback to kind of just getting the ball in my guys' hands, then that really, that's kind of where it unlocked for me a little bit.
That's Sam Darnold talking about Brock Purdy. And I know that sounds relatively straightforward and simple, Sterling, but like that's a big deal. This is a guy in Sam Darnold who quarterbacked at USC, had weapons all the time at USC. Maybe not so much, you know, in the NFL level with the Jets, and he had some time with the Panthers and all of that. But he's been around. He's been to multiple spots before, and it wasn't until Brock Purdy said, "Hey, Sam, figure it out, dude. Just get the ball to your studs and let them do the work for you," that he finally kind of figured out this NFL quarterbacking thing. And now he's quarterbacking potentially the number one seed in the NFC in the Seattle Seahawks. So I don't know. It's interesting that these two dudes are facing off tomorrow for the one seed for the NFC West. And it is Sam Darnold who credits Brock Purdy for basically turning his career around, or at least giving him the needed information that has allowed him to turn his career around.
You almost wish he didn't do that, because it'd make it a lot easier for the 49ers tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I also think it's important to point out that they were teammates, what, in Brock's second season?
Yes.
In his first like full year as a starter, yes. And Brock Purdy's just like, "Look, dude, this thing really ain't that hard. Just play point guard and you figure it out." And you know, the knowledge Purdy had, obviously, and I'm sure a lot of that was from Shanahan saying, "Look, take pressure off yourself. All you got, like, you have the team around you. Let them cook, and you could just pass things off." But I also think we have seen both these quarterbacks grow. Where, yeah, maybe for Sam it was okay. You know, I can just play point guard for a little bit, and Purdy was doing that a lot, which is why a lot of people weren't truly buying into what he had to offer. And funny enough, that includes this offseason and during this year, because the way Mac Jones played, but Purdy almost simplified quarterback play for Sam Darnold, and now both those guys have taken the next steps in their evolution as quarterbacks. Are seeing Sam being one of the best deep ball passers in football, one of the best in play action. You're seeing Purdy in this last month and a half look like, you know, I don't know, again, one of the best quarterbacks we've seen this year, certainly. But I also think, you know, from where Purdy started, where he began, it shows us that, you know, a lot of people didn't think we'd see this from Brock, and it's a testament to the growth he's had since that point in time, a year or two, saying, "Just play point guard." Brock ain't just playing point guard anymore, man. He's alley-ooping to himself. He's slam dunking things. Like, he has grown from point guard to now, you know, like the Clippers of Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Lob City.
Like, it's incredible, right? And, you know, I think we have seen, I think Evan pointed out earlier in the crossover about, you know, McCaffrey being kind of like Stephen Curry late in his career, but now you're seeing that version of Christian McCaffrey, an older version of McCaffrey, now mixed with the best version of Brock Purdy. And
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's kind of crazy to see, like, your eyes kind of open up to, like, oh, there's more here. We did not know this was possible. And that gets you really excited, too. But, yeah, Purdy, don't help the backup quarterbacks. They may come to play you one day for your division and the number one seed. So stop passing on your knowledge and keep it a secret more often than not. Please, please.
Yeah, most starting quarterbacks actively... I don't know if this is fair. A lot of starting quarterbacks would be hesitant to help their backups. I'll put it that way.
Be Aaron Rodgers. Be Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a mentor.
Be Tom Brady to Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah.
Get him traded away. He's the opposition. Sam Darnold is the ops.
Exactly. And Brock, it seemed like, willingly able to support his backup quarterback at the time, which was Sam Darnold, who now is the opponent tomorrow. And I do think it is a little interesting that these are, you know, a couple of quarterbacks, and specifically, you know, the Niners and their familiarity with Sam Darnold plays into this conversation. Like, if you are the Seahawks and you're trying to figure out how to game plan against the Niners, I mean, the Seahawks, they have some connections to the 49ers. I mean, obviously, you're talking about Sam Darnold, who was a Niner quarterback a couple of years ago. And the name is escaping me, Sterling. One of the Kubiaks. Is it Clint? Which Kubiak is the Seahawks offensive coordinator?
It's Clint, I believe.
Clint? Yes. There's connections to Kubiaks and Shanahans have been coaching together for such a long time. There's a lot of connections here, and I wonder what the mind games are going to be tomorrow, Sterling, because, again, there is a lot the Niners know about Sam Darnold. There's a lot they know about that offensive system. Now, Mike McDonald has been one of the few defensive coordinators and defensive guys that have had success against the Niners and Shanahan's offense. There is a lot of familiarity in this matchup, kind of similar to all the Niners-Rams matchups, where it's a chess match every single game, which is why I think so much of this game is going to come down to, can Shanahan out-navigate his offense against Mike McDonald's defense? Because those are two of the best at those respective sides of the football. And this honestly might come down to just how good of a position does Kyle Shanahan put his offense in versus that really good defense. This is the game for Shanahan to flex his muscles more than he already has this year, which is a lot. And, I mean, frankly, if he wins tomorrow, Sterling, he's the coach of the year. Lock it up. He's the coach of the year if he wins tomorrow's matchup. In my mind, frankly, if he loses, maybe it's Mike McDonald. Otherwise, maybe it's Vrabel in New England. But this is a game for Shanahan to continue to display just how good he's been so far this season.
It's almost like Shanahan and company have been working on their summer bodies. They've been in the gym. They've been lifting plates, as Jim Cosimore used to say. And they're getting stronger and stronger, but they haven't had the reveal just yet. They've been hiding in the shadows, waiting to show off their summer body. And on January 3rd, they're going to come out there and be like, look at me now, and hopefully it's a victory. And if they can do that, you'll say the hard work's paid off and it's much deserved. So hopefully tomorrow we get the Shanahan summer body expose at Levi Stadium, because it could be worth the wait, because this team, I think, while we can talk about the success they've had, it all comes down to this. Nothing you've done against Chicago, Tennessee, Cleveland, any team you've won in this last six games matters. It all goes away. This is really a one-game playoff. I know you have games ahead of you. You're in the playoffs already, but this game means so much into the future of this team in 2025 and going into the playoffs. But you know, really, if you want to get into a further conversation, and I know we're not going to, but it's like Robert Saleh could be gone during the offseason. Yep. Guys are injured and may not come back. You just don't know. And so, you know, Brandon Ayuk will be gone, and this, that, and the other. Trent may retire. It opens a whole, you know, Pandora's box of stuff. But, like, this to me is the moment. And, you know, the pressure on this team and the way the trade deadline worked out, not really making a move and everything, like, it all kind of builds to this of, like, can you get over the hump? And if you can against Seattle, there's questions of what you could have done, what you didn't do during the midpoint of the season. But also, I see some fans maybe sit back and say, what a waste, you know, because you have your best quarterback play you've had in 30 years, and Shanahan's calling his best stuff, and you can't find a way to win, you're wasting what has been maybe one of your best opportunities offensively to maybe finally get that sixth Lombardi trophy.
I mean, I'm nodding along with you there. Yeah, they should have done more at the trade deadline. Now, I understand why they didn't, because you and I are sitting here, and Bonte asked, like, on the crossovers, how do you feel? And I told you, I'm just still coming to terms with the fact that this is all still happening. The fact that they're fighting for the one seed. Like, pinch me. Like, am I dreaming? Like, this is actually what's going on. So, you're the Niners, and, you know, a number of weeks ago, months ago, you had to make a decision based on what you thought this season was going to be. And the Niners probably decided, well, best case scenario, we sneak in as the 6 or the 7 seed. We sneak in as a 6 or the 7. We got to go on the road to somewhere like Philly or LA or something like that. And, you know, we're going to give it our best, but we're not really counting on a deep postseason run. So, no, I'm not willing to give up a third round pick for a pass rusher or whatever the case is. But you look at it now, Sterling, and you're a win away from being the number one seed in the NFC. And if you do that, you're one win away from hosting the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? A third-round pick for someone like Jalen Phillips feels absolutely worth it now. What the hell were they thinking? But again, on the flip side, I can understand why they didn't, because who thought this was possible? But the reality is, it's happened. And now they're sitting at this at a spot where they need their offense to be darn near perfect. Otherwise, they're probably going to lose. And if they lose, you're looking at Philadelphia, LA, Seattle as maybe your three postseason games should you win your first two. Like, that seems downright impossible. Not that one player for a third round pick would make a gigantic difference, but it would make me feel a whole lot better about that group than I currently feel, Sterling.
Which, I mean, I don't know about you, but the confidence level I have in the defense is almost the inverse of the offense, where I'm like, oh yeah, the offense can score on every single drive and I wouldn't be shocked. And I was sitting here like, yep, that's how good they are. And the defense can give up points every single drive. And I'm sitting here like, well, that's who they are too. That's just the way things are. And, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and say what if and, you know, what could have been all the time. And, you know, whether it's Jalen Phillips or Jermaine Johnson or, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, Trey Hendrickson, guys like that, it could have been had, or at least were rumored to be available. I don't know. It just, I will stand pat or stand by my thought of, like, there wasn't a move that could have been made, because if it could have been made, it would have been made. But I also don't expect, and maybe this goes into how great Brock Purdy's been, I don't think they expected this from Brock Purdy. They knew Purdy was great, but I don't think if you asked John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, were you expecting next level, near MVP, like, you know, month and a half performance from Brock Purdy, and you're going to get that, I wouldn't be shocked, and they won't admit this, this probably surprised them too, that Brock Purdy's playing this good and the offense has caught fire as hot as they have been. Like, they did not see this on the table for them, and maybe that's, you know, a pitfall in their vision for this team, but I think it goes more into Brock Purdy's playing so over his skis that it has had us, including myself, reevaluate how good he can be at the NFL level.
Yeah, you're hitting on a lot that I want to continue talking about. We'll do that when we come back. Coming up, though, in a few hours, the Warriors host the Thunder at 7 o'clock, which means Warriors Live starts at 6, presented by Xfinity. I'll have it for you here on 95.7 The Game. Xfinity, though, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. More talk about the Niners and the decision at the trade deadline to not go for it, really, but can't really blame them considering what we all thought about this team way back when. That's what's coming up here on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy and Sterling with you on this 2nd of January. Happy New Year. Back with more after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. It's Willard and Dibs, but no Willard or Dibs. They're back coming up on Monday. Filling in for them today, it's Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Grandy. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got a little more than an hour left with you here on Willard and Dibs. I'll be hanging out, though, after that, because we've got Warriors Live coming up at 6 o'clock. Warriors getting set to take on the Thunder from Chase Center. Warriors return home. 10 of their next 11 games at home. Tonight, though, will be tough. Not only are the Thunder in town, and they're the best team in basketball, but no Steph, No Draymond, no Jimmy, no Melton, and more. We'll talk more about that coming up at 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. But that is what's coming up. Coming up tomorrow, of course, is the biggest game of the year. And you know the place to be. Head out to Laughing Monk Brewing right down the street from the stadium. Hang with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings. And, of course, if you're going to the game, there's a free shuttle back and forth. And all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. But you better do it quickly because seats are going fast. That's 957thegame.com. Again, it's Grandy and Sterling with you here on Willard and Ibs. Sterling, we were talking about the Niners at the trade deadline, and the only move that they made, the only trade that they made, was Keon White from the Patriots, who had fallen out of favor there, was not fitting with their style, their scheme. And the Niners essentially just, swapped late round picks. The Patriots moved up a little bit. The Niners got Keon White plus a later round pick back. Basically, hardly traded anything away for Keon White. And then they signed Cleveland Furl off the street. That was basically the entirety of the Niners' moves around the trade deadline. I think what's important to bring up is what a different contender in the NFC did. And I know you might poke a hole in this because maybe the fit wouldn't have worked as well with the 49ers. But I was reading a story by Matt Barrows on The Athletic, and it opened my eyes to this number. So Jalen Phillips traded from the Dolphins to the Eagles for a third-round pick at the trade deadline. Jalen Phillips has 2 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, and 41 quarterback pressures since the Eagles acquired him before Week 10. Over the same span, Bryce Huff, Sam Okwuanu, Cleveland Furl, Robert Beal Jr., and Yetur Gross-Matos have 43 combined pressures. 43 combined pressures from Huff, Okwuanu, Furl, Beal, and Gross-Matos, while Jalen Phillips himself, Sterling, has 41 pressures. The Niners said, and I think still would say this, they didn't feel like they wanted to do a next year's team a disservice by trading away a valuable piece, and by piece I mean draft pick, to help the team just this season. They did not want to hurt themselves in the future just to help this team right now. And honestly, fair enough in the moment. But man, oh man, looking back on that now, it feels like a major misevaluation, because I would give a third round pick and more if I could promise myself that Jalen Phillips or someone similar to him would be suiting up for the Niners tomorrow versus the Seahawks.
Well, and it's not like it's Myles Garrett or, you know, the best edge rusher in football. It's a guy that is a key rotation guy. He's probably a number two at best, but it's never good when a guy like that, who isn't an elite guy but is still a good player, is outperforming 5 of your defensive linemen in the pressure category, and you're like, well, wait a minute, that guy could have been had at the deadline, and we didn't do that. And you're right, the fit probably wasn't the best schematically. You know, 3-4 defenses out there in Miami and Philadelphia. Vic Fangio was part of the staff in Miami that drafted Phillips, so there was some connection there, but I don't even think it really has to do with Phillips specifically. It's more about, you know, do you believe in this team, and do you believe you are maybe one player? In this case, it would have been 3, White, Farrell, and somebody else that can at least keep you afloat and wreak some more havoc on the opposing quarterbacks, because I'm sorry, you lead anybody, any quarterback upright, the odds are you're not going to win football games, and you've seen the defense kind of skate by the skin of their teeth, mainly against the Bears this year. The game probably should have been won, but it was. But now you're going into a game tomorrow against the Seahawks, and the playoffs, where even if you don't believe in the opposing quarterback you're playing, Jalen Hurts, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, and guys like that, Jordan Love in that category as well, okay, well, you keep those guys upright and you give them 5 seconds to throw, they're probably going to find somebody open because your secondary isn't great either. So it's like, you know, you're kind of stuck in a rock in a hard place, but it's like, you know, you couldn't do anything. you couldn't do any moves at all. You couldn't give up a 5th-round pick for something. Like, I don't know, it's able-bodied probably help you at this point in time. But which it's funny because we're talking about, you know, what they could have done. Keon White and Yetur Gross-Matos, a guy they acquired at the deadline and a guy that came back off the injury list a couple weeks ago, they may play 2 of the more important roles on this defense, trying to get to Darnold over the center and over their guards and get into your pass rush, which is, again, crazy to say that, you know, those are 3rd- and 4th-string players you have to play, where you hope it could play generational football this Saturday against the Seahawks.
Yeah, Absolutely. And you were talking about, so obviously the Niners' decision was based on what they thought this year's team would be and what they thought next year's or 2 years from now team would be. And they thought that the team next year likely would have a better shot to compete, and they didn't want to do anything to hurt that team last year. That's at least as simple as I think I can explain their reasoning. Then, of course, what happened is Brock came back. They got healthier, and Brock's playing at a great, great level, and they haven't lost since he returned, and they're now one win away from the NFC Championship game, and being the one seed and only having to win one game in order to get to the NFC Championship game. Where my mind then goes, Sterling, and you were kind of talking about what next year might hold. Like, are you going to get this play from Purdy in late December going into January next year from Purdy? Is the quarterback ever going to play at this level again? Like, we'll find out, and you certainly hope so, or at least you hope that he can be close to it. The way my mind works, and I hate the way that my mind works sometimes, Sterling, and I thought about this for a while as it relates to Christian McCaffrey, like, next year might be rough for McCaffrey. Like, yep. Because 2 years ago, Christian McCaffrey ran the ball 272 times, and he caught 67 passes. So that is, what, around, like, 330-something? I don't want to do the math at the top of my head right now. 330-something total touches for Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago. And then 2024 came around, and he played in just four games. And the Niners' season was ruined because of it. There was obviously other things happening, but it's pretty darn clear now, when McCaffrey's healthy, the Niners are a great football team. When he's not, they're not. Christian McCaffrey very well might be the most important non-quarterback in the entire NFL. That's what the numbers show you since he's been a 49er. And Christian McCaffrey now this year has 393 total touches, and I 399, sorry. And I would imagine he's going to get at least one touch tomorrow and will finish the season with at least 400 touches. And the last time he had anywhere near that level of touches, he played four games the next year. Saquon Barkley this year, after, you know, nearly setting a rushing record last year and out-touching everybody by a mile, didn't really get hurt, but was hardly anywhere as effective as he was last year. Like, where my mind goes, Sterling, is on one hand, by not being willing to part with a draft pick for next year, you're telling yourself you don't really believe in this season, but by the way you're using Christian McCaffrey, you might also be hurting your team next season because you're using up McCaffrey and maybe he's going to get hurt again next year, Sterling.
You kind of are advocating to re-sign Brian Robinson and utilize him more. It's what it sounds like to me.
I'm doing that, yeah.
But I also think you're right. You know, I would like to believe if this front office had a redo at the deadline and say somehow the deadline was today, they'd make a move.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, again, hindsight's 2020, and we can all play armchair quarterback, but that's part of the job, right? You see teams get hot all the time, and, you know, let's be honest here. Sometimes the best teams do not win the Super Bowl. Sometimes the best teams don't win on Sunday and Monday and Thursdays. And hopefully tomorrow, I don't think San Francisco is the better team, but maybe it happens against Seattle tomorrow night on Saturday. But sometimes the best teams don't always win games. I can go back to the Niners' three Super Bowl losses over the last 20 years, and you can have a stake to say that they were the better team in all three of those games, and they just fell short in each one. That said, if you get hot at the right time, you can get carried and you just become a buzzsaw. The Eagles last year, Jalen Hurts was terrible all year long, gets hot at the right time, and yeah, he looks like a top 10 quarterback in the Super Bowl, and they boat race the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, it's all about ebbs and flows and how hot you can get. And sometimes momentum is what carries you to big wins. And you know, right now, San Francisco has a lot of it. And I think if you get the front office a redo, they'd probably make a few more phone calls and be willing to give some higher end draft picks up to make sure they can capitalize on what has been a really great stretch of San Francisco 49er football the last couple months.
Yeah, I would think so as well. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. I see you, Jan. We're going to come to you in just a minute. A couple of pieces of business I got to take care of first, and then we will get to you, Jan. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What does it mean to live a brave life? It's about showing up, staying grounded, and having the physical and mental energy to handle the pace of life. And that is one of the reasons to love Ancient and Brave and their pure, potent, powerful supplements. Ancient and Brave has been an iconic wellness brand in the UK for years, and now they've launched in the US with incredible products that change the game, like their True Creatine and True Collagen. They come in gorgeous jars or on-the-go sachets for wherever you're off to. Ancient and Brave is a certified B Corp and members of 1% for the Planet. They offer tools that genuinely support and nourish your brave, backed by scientists and experts. Right now, Ancient and Brave is offering an exclusive offer. Head to ancientandbrave.com. And use the code EMMA for 20% off your first order. Give your body a little daily bravery. It adds up. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.